Oh God, may there be those who will look and live this morning because the living Lord Jesus Christ is here. We thank you and we ask your blessing now, continued blessing, as we open the word. May it truly accomplish the purpose for which you have given it to us in Christ's name. Amen. Please take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And as you turn there, I want to say that this evening's service at 6:30, I will be speaking on Christianity and temptation. Just checking the clock here to see that the alarm is off. Christianity and temptation. Well, I trust that if you are like the rest of us, you will be here tonight to learn about this vital topic of temptation in the Christian's life. 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 to 8. Ye became also imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and in Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. May God bless his word. Influence. When I think of influence, I think of three men who have deeply, deeply affected my life. I am sure that if you were to go back in your own mind's eyes, you would have those people who have also influenced you. The three men who have actually affected my life deeply. Some would know the first one, Harold Wildish, a saint from yesteryears. I had the privilege of meeting this man, had personal interviews with him, and Harold Wildish has affected my life deeply. He has influenced me with his sincerity with the Word of God. I have never met anyone more sincere than Harold Wildish with the Word of God. He has affected me deeply. The second person who has influenced me deeply is Dr. Steve Norford. I've also met him personally, and I've told him that when I first heard him way back when, even before I had the privilege of meeting him in person, I heard him on the radio as in my early Christian life, and Dr. Orford has actually affected me deeply in the proclamation of the Word of God. He has deeply affected me. The third man that has affected me, some of you would not even know, perhaps except by his writings, is Dr. T.S. Rendell. He has deeply affected me with the study of God's Word. Those three men, Harold Wildish with the sincerity of God's Word, Steve Norford with the proclamation of God's Word, and T.S. Rendell, the study of God's Word. Those three men have been influencing me from the time I first met them until this very moment. There are others, to say the least, and I will not try to drown you with those men who have affected me. But the reason I told you about that is because this morning, for the time allotted, we want to talk about spiritual influence and its effects. Spiritual influence. Whenever I am preparing people for marriage, I will ask them, who has influenced you the most in your preparation for marriage? And it's interesting, the answers I will get. What is influence? Influence is the effect that someone has upon me that results in my mimicking that person in whatever the case might be. I mimic them. This is what St. Paul has to say to us this morning as we look at this text read for us this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. Time will not allow me to go into everything, so I will begin right with the outline. Consider with me briefly, please, the energy of spiritual influence. Spiritual influence has energy to it. It has energy to it because it does something to the one who is affected by what they see. The first thing I note in our text is that spiritual energy compels people's attention. It compels people's attention. Something happens to people when they are affected influentially by our lives. Consider with me, please, the two compelling things in the lives of the apostle. It was Paul and Silas and Timothy. And the first thing we're told that they beheld of them was their lifestyle. Their lifestyle. And you know, says Paul in chapter 1, verse 5, you know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. You know. Consider that, friends. I remember reading about Dr. Alexander McLaren, another man from the past that have influenced me. A lady went to Dr. McLaren and said to him, "Sir, I want to tell you of some complaints I have against you." And Dr. McLaren, as a humble man as he was, he said, "Go ahead." And this lady told Dr. McLaren everything that she had against him. And after she was finished, Dr. McLaren said, "Is that all?" She said, "Yes." And Dr. McLaren said, "I'm glad you don't know me like I know myself, or you'd have a lot more to say." You see, what he was dealing with was the reality of his own life. He had a concern for that lady, so he lived out before her. Although she didn't see, he was able to understand that if he has anything to say to that lady, it will be said more by what he is, more than what he says. You see, influence is what happens because of what I see in someone's lifestyle. The way they live, the way they respond. What they behold of me, we read this morning, if you please, from John 17. Jesus said, "For their sakes I sanctify myself." The word simply means, because of those I love, I am truly taking an effect upon my own life for their sakes. I will set myself aside on the cross for their sakes. Influence. I will do anything for the other person because my lifestyle is what matters to them. Early in my Christian life, I learned a little song. What you are speaks so loud that I can't hear what you say. People are looking at your life and judging by what they see. They're not listening to what you say, for what you are speaks louder than what you say. Lifestyle. This is absolutely essential, friends. St. Paul was able to appeal to the Thessalonians and said, "You knew me. You know me. You know what manner of people we were among you. Our lifestyle you beheld, and when you beheld that there was something about my lifestyle, our lifestyle, that affected you." Paul, I find, was not ashamed to call himself to be an example to others. He said it to the Colossians. He said it to the Galatians. He said it to the Thessalonians, "Look at me and follow me because I am following Christ." Let me ask you, my friends, I ask myself as the minister, do I have enough confidence in my lifestyle that I can come to you and say to you, "Follow me because I'm following Christ"? Do you know me enough to say, "I know that man and therefore I want to be like him"? He can speak it from the platform, but what is he like on the battlefield? What is he like when it comes to dealing with criticisms? What is he like when it comes to dealing with praise? What is he like when it comes to dealing with pressures? I would like to see him that way. This is why I told you of Harold Wildish. Someone asked him, "Dr. Wildish, are you a Christian?" He said, "Ask Mrs. Wildish. Ask her. She knows me. And if she says she sees me, then I know that my lifestyle, it's taking its effects." Well, let me go on. From the compelling of attention, which leads to the lifestyle that is beheld, we go to the Lord that is believed. From a lifestyle that is beheld, we go to the Lord that is believed. Listen to how St. Paul puts it. "And you became imitators of us and of the Lord." But do you find that interesting? You would have thought they would have said, "You became imitators of the Lord and of us." No. You see, my friends, the strategy of God to win the world is this. The strategy of God to win the world is this. He places a church in the middle of pagans transformed their lives, and then says to the world, look at the church. Look at the believer. Look at the one who proclaims the life-transforming gospel, and see in him the Lord you are to believe in. They became the bridge for people to believe. They were no stumbling blocks to anyone. They, my friends, were conduits through which the life of Christ flowed. Are we concerned about evangelism? Evangelism begins, my friends, with the lifestyle we live. The lifestyle we portray before a watching world. Am I concerned about anything in this church, about the prayers of this church? If I'm concerned about the prayers of this church, I must be a praying man. Am I concerned about the love of this church? I must be a loving man. Am I concerned, my friends, about the ministry of this church? I must be a man of ministry. Whatever I desire of you, you must see in me so that you can mimic me, if you please. Paul was able to call upon his own lifestyle as a bridge to people's believing. I think of that, my friends, and I ask the question, how many people were affected by my life this past week? Negatively or positively? How many people saw something of the beauty and the kindness and the tenderness and the sensitiveness and the love of Christ? How many people I came in contact with this past week saw that? And they are closer to the Lord Jesus Christ because they came in contact with me. They're closer to the life of victory because they came in contact with me. That's a tall order, isn't it? That I can say I am a model for what I want. I don't dare say it. I don't dare say it. Because God is still chipping away. God is still removing those things that are blocking his own life in my life. Several years ago, some of you will remember, there was a tremendous presidential debate. It was between two former presidents, Gerald Ford and Jimmy Carter. And I'm always interested in those things, and I stood in front of my television watching these two men. And all of a sudden, you remember this, the sound went. Here were these two men standing in front of each other, looking as dumb as they get. Really, they did. They just stood there. The sound was gone. CBS lost its sound. And they were waiting for this thing to be repaired, and it never did. It never did. The next day, they found the problem. You know what was the cost of the problem? $1.27. $1.27 stopped the most two powerful men from being heard across the United States. My friends, it might be one little sin that stops the flow of Christ in your life and mine. One little thing becomes in the conduit, do it a blockage. It might be attitude. It might be an unloving spirit, an unforgiving spirit. It might be whatever these things might be. God has set us to be an example, to be the spiritual influence the world needs so that they will believe on the Lord because they have first come in contact with you and with me. That's what the scripture is calling us for. Spiritual influence, says St. Paul, leads people to believe in the Lord. When I think of that, my friends, I think of this church. Someone called me the other day and said, where is your church located? I was tempted to say all over the place. You get it? All over the place. And it's true. But you see, my friends, I was able to say to that person, it's located on Major Mackenzie Drive between Markham Road and McCowan. And then I added these words, you can't miss it. Will anyone miss Christ because they missed us? St. Paul said, you became believers because of me. What a tremendous privilege. What a tremendous responsibility. Well, let me quickly go on. Not only does it compel the attention of people, it also corrects the perception of people. Spiritual influence actually corrects the perception of people. What is the perception that must be corrected? I said Paul and Silas and Timothy were examples. But my friends, you will note that these people came to believe on the Lord, not on Paul, not on Timothy, not on Silas. So beautiful was that life flowing from them that people actually saw, first of all, that to become a believer, to know what salvation is, they had to believe the Word. The Word. You know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. You became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the Word. The word received, my friends, means this. To make a deliberate act of the will to respond to something. So that when Paul went to the Thessalonians and he shared with them the gospel, by an act of the will, they repented and trusted Jesus Christ the Savior. That's how a person is saved. Not because we see the goodness of another's life and want to imitate them. Good as that is, important as it is, a person becomes a Christian because they have received the Word. Now, says Jesus, the person who is born again is born of the Spirit and of water. And the Scripture speaks of water as being the water of the Word. A man must hear the gospel before he is saved. He must trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. He must receive Him as Savior as an act of the will to be saved. And Paul said, you receive the Word even though we were the bridge. So, the Word must be received. That's the first correction that must be made. You are not a Christian because your father was, or because your mother was, or because you mimicked their lives. You're a Christian because you acted out in faith to what was given. Secondly, and this is the most, well, I shouldn't say it's the most important, but equally important. The second perception corrected is this, that once you become a Christian, all your problems are over. You receive the Word with much tribulation, affliction, difficulties. When Paul was saved, my friends, on the road to Damascus, in Acts chapter 9, the first thing God said, I want to show him how much he must suffer for my sake. All through the New Testament, we're told that the person who believes in Christ and will live for Christ will suffer. Will suffer. And I think we cheat people out of the truth of the gospel, out of the completeness of the gospel, if we tell them, if you come to Jesus, everything will be wonderful. It ain't so. It ain't so. Paul, my friend, suffered more after he became a Christian than before. But he had the capacity he never had before to deal with them. He had the power to deal with them that he never had before. He had the insight into his problems as he never had before. He had the power to defuse the enemy as he never had before. There is a price in salvation, and there's only one price for salvation. The price for salvation has been paid by our Lord. The price in salvation is lived out in your life and mine as we live godly in Jesus Christ. Any man who will live godly will suffer. Jesus said, in this world, you will have persecution, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Oh, may God grant to us, my friends, the desire to be influencers, not only to bring people to the Lord, but to correct their perception so they understand just what it is to be a believer. Now you know as well as I do that part two will come next week.